Where would any of us be without our mothers? To them we owe not only our lives, but the heritage they left for us to follow. For many, that heritage is a godly one, and those whose mothers gave such a heritage are blessed indeed. From Chicago, this is the Moody Church Hour, a weekly service of worship and teaching under the ministry of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Today, Dr. Lutzer brings a Mother's Day message on Your Mother, Your Gift, taken from the life of Timothy and his mother Eunice. But first, you'll hear an unforgettable testimony from one very unusual mother. Pastor Lutzer comes now to open our service.
As we prepare our hearts for worship, I want to remind you that the Bible always speaks about being clean in God's presence. If there is sin on your conscience, if there is a matter that you need to give to God, now is the time to do it. Because with focused minds and hearts, we want to give God glory. In a moment, we are going to be singing, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And if you're new to Moody Church, we want you to know that we indeed do adore God, and forsaking everything, are desirous of following Him. Thank you so much for joining us. Let us pray together, and then we shall stand to sing. Hymn number 90, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And Father, in these moments, we do adore You, thanking You that Jesus invites us, and Your word says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. We do that now in our hearts and with our words. In Jesus' name, amen. know that it is Mother's Day, and what would Mother's Day be without children? I'm just going to pick on one of them here. What is your name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, what's your last name?
Coughlin.
Oh, Stephanie Coughlin. How old are you, Stephanie?
Six.
It took a little while. Do your mommy and daddy love Jesus?
Yes.
And do you think they love you?
Yes.
All right, good. Why? I'm always a little scared of getting the wrong answer. You know, today, of course, is Mother's Day, and here's some comments from a mother's dictionary. Mother of a young child, the dictionary. Feedback. That's the inevitable result when a baby doesn't appreciate strained carrots. Puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Sterilize is what you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it and your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it. Temper tantrum, what you should keep to a minimum so as not to upset the children. We're so glad that you are here today, and thank you for honoring mothers, and the message today is going to be one of hope and encouragement to all the mothers present, but also, of course, also to the rest of us. We're glad that you have come here today. Many of you are visiting, and remember, afterwards there is a visitor's reception. Rebecca and I happen to also look forward to going to that today. We want to greet you and let you know that we appreciate the fact that you are at Moody Church. All right, at this time, would all the mothers stand so that we can recognize you and give you a hand? All the mothers on Mother's Day, yes. All right. Remain standing, mothers. Remain standing. And now everybody stand, and you welcome someone to the Moody Church, would you please?
Each Mother's Day, we ask someone to share their story of how their mother has blessed their life. Our pastor has written a beautiful tribute to his mom in the bulletin. You want to be sure and read that. But today we've asked Sarah James, who's director of our By the Hand Club at Cabrini Green, to share her unique story of how God has given her the precious gift of motherhood. You're going to be blessed, Sarah.
Thank you, Mary. Hello, everyone. My name is Sarah James, and I'm originally from Covington, Kentucky. I have been a member at Moody Church now for the past 2 years. After getting my elementary education degree, I decided that if I was going into full-time ministry, I needed to get a Bible degree. I felt God's calling on my life to work with inner-city kids since I was a school student attending an inner city school myself. In 1999, I came to visit the Moody Graduate School in Chicago. I decided to do a prayer walk around the Cabrini Green housing development. It was on a corner in Cabrini Green. I stopped to pray that God would send me anywhere in the world to serve Him in the toughest inner city neighborhoods. I prayed that God would teach me what it means to die to myself, and finally I asked God to give me a cross to bear so I could follow Him. Well, don't you know God answered all three of those prayers? After earning my master's degree in urban ministry at the Moody Graduate School, God called me to work in full-time ministry at By the Hand Club for Kids, an after-school program that started in Cabrini Green, the very corner I had prayed 3 years before getting hired. By the Hand Club for Kids started by Donita Travis as a ministry of the Moody Church in March of 2001 with 16 kids. We partner with Chicago Public School principals who refer us children in critical need of academic intervention. Currently, By the Hand Club is serving 638 children, first through 12th grade, and is located in four sites through the city of Chicago. I am now the director of the Cabrini Green site. When I started at By the Hand, I enrolled 22 children on my team. One of the third grade children I enrolled was named Kiwan Williams. Donita Travis and I went to the Truth Elementary School in Cabrini to find out about Kiwan. We'll never forget the first day we visited his classroom teacher, Miss Avram. She explained, Kiwan doesn't know his ABCs, and until someone helps him with eyeglasses, we can't even test him to see what he needs. Then, seemingly overwhelmed by his situation, she stopped mid-sentence and said, I don't know if you even want him. We smiled and reassured her, yes, we want him. Kiwan started coming to the club regularly as an 8-year-old boy in the third grade. His story grabbed my heart the most. Kiwan and his little brother, Trayvon, witnessed their mother's tragic death at the ages of 6 and 2 years old. Their grandmother continued to raise them, but her health began to decline. In April of 2003, our ministry sponsored a 40,000 Easter egg hunt in Cabrini. As the boys and I were going into the car to go home, Kiwan put his arm around his little brother, Trayvon, and as they walked through the parking lot together. It was at that moment my heart broke for the boys, and God said to me, Sarah, these are your boys. Take care of them. Little did I know what that meant at the time. Over the next 2 years, I really began to mentor the boys both during and after By the Hand Club. We would go to a movie on Friday nights or visit McDonald's a few times a month. I began to throw birthday parties for the boys at Chuck E. Cheese. God continued to lay that burden on my heart that someday they will live with me. I responded to God by letting him know that I would have the boys live with me, but he had to be the one who told the boys, not me. I began to pray that God would speak to a 9- and 5-year-old and give them peace about living with me. A year later, when Kiwan was 10 years old, he told me about a dream he had. He said, Miss Sarah, I had a dream that me, you, and Trayvon live in a house together. I asked him what he thought that dream meant. Kiwan said without any hesitation, I think God is preparing me for something. This began several more conversations about the idea of us living together. 2 years later, their grandma trusted me enough to give me guardianship and for the boys to live with me. This is Kiwan, he's 14, and this is Trayvon, he's 11. Sometimes we laugh, actually, about the three of us being together. I'm white, you didn't notice. I'm single, and I'm not the best cook in the world. They are African American boys, and they love to eat good food. However, we do have two things in common. Number one, all three of us love God and want to impact other people's lives. We have committed to each other not to waste our life. And number two, the three of us would not be here today if it wasn't for three special moms who have impacted our lives. So also today we are honoring Shanita Williams, their mother, Diane Williams, their grandmother, and my mom, who is with us today from Kentucky, Anita Schaefer. The past couple of years, when Pastor Lucer invited all the moms to stand up, I didn't know whether or not I should. I felt unworthy to stand up because I'm not Kiwan and Trayvon's birth mom. I think to myself, people probably wonder why I'm standing because my boys don't look like me. Yet I do feel like a mom. I pack school lunches. We do morning devotions together. We play basketball and baseball together. I go to every baseball and basketball game practice. Yes, I think I can stand up too today. So, today, Pastor Lucer, when you asked for all the moms to stand up, I stood up. And I stood up to honor God for giving me this great opportunity. We all know that giving birth to a child is a miracle by God. As you can see, this too is a miracle from God. And I'm so glad that God has allowed me to be a mom to Kiwan and Trayvon. Mom,
well, folks, you've seen motherhood in new light. I've known Sarah for many years. What a wonderful woman of God she is. And I'm so glad that you told me a year or two ago that you stood when I asked all the mothers to stand. And your two sons can be proud of you even as you are proud of them. Thank you so very, very much. Well, we've already heard a sermon today, but I've got another one. We have all kinds of days, don't we? We've got Secretary Days, President's Days, Groundhog Days. We even have Father's Day. But there's nothing like Mother's Day. Who can understand motherhood? When Pompeii was being excavated, the excavators came across a little girl with her arms outstretched, and they said, there must be a mother here. And sure enough, they dug a little deeper, and there was a mother. Who can understand motherhood? Today we're going to look into the life of a mother, and we wish we knew more about her. Was she strong-willed or weak-willed? Was she a woman who was strict with her son, or was she lenient? We don't know. But we do know something about her that was the most important thing to know, and that is that she loved God and she passed on the baton. I discovered that in 2008, in the Olympics, that both sides, both the women 400-meter runners and the men, both dropped batons and lost the race. Today we're going to talk about a woman who passed on the baton. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is the passage, and we meet this woman by the name of Eunice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I shall pick it up at verse 4. It's on page 995 in the Bibles that are there in the pew. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, this is being written to Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason I remind you to fan into a flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The woman's name is Eunice. And Eunice is going to teach us how to be a mother, even though she never read a book in her life. She never attended a single seminar on parenting. She probably was unable to read, but she knew what it was to be a mother and to pass on the faith to a remarkable young man. Let me give you some of the characteristics of the faith that she had. The Bible says here it is a sincere faith. She was a woman without hypocrisy, without pretense. She didn't pretend to be somebody she wasn't. And there she was communicating throughout the centuries to us on how to be a mother. Characteristics of faith. First of all, notice that it was a living faith. It was a living faith. Notice in your Bibles that little word dwelt, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. The Greek text really means to indwell. This was a living faith that she had, and the reason that we know it was a living faith is she lived out her faith in the midst of a marriage that was not ideal. She had not married wisely. We know that from the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Let me read to you just the first verses. It says, Paul also came to Derbe and to Lystra, and Lystra was the home of Timothy and his mother, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. It's very clear two things had problems in this marriage, had challenges. The first was cultural. She was Jewish, she was a mother, yes indeed, but she was a daughter of Abraham, coming through the Jewish faith. She married someone of a different culture, of Greek origin, and he was a Greek. And even though the Bible does not speak at all against interracial marriage from the standpoint of culture or race, we all know that that produces certain challenges because of the expectations. And races oftentimes are much more different than we realize that they are, especially during the times when young people date. But there was another problem in the home that was much more severe, and that is that Timothy's father was not a believer. We know this from the text. First of all, you'll notice it says his mother was a believer, but his father was a Greek. You can see the contrast there. And another reason is Timothy was not circumcised. In other words, Timothy's father did not buy into the Jewish faith. That's why Paul had Timothy circumcised later on, so that it would not give offense to the Jewish community. But also another reason is because Timothy's father is never mentioned as having any impact in this boy's life. So Eunice comes along, and throughout the century she speaks to, first of all, those of you who are single mothers. You need to raise your boys alone because dad isn't in the home. Now it's entirely possible that Timothy's father was in the home, but Eunice also speaks to those of you who have a husband. The boy has a father, but you can't look to the father for any kind of spiritual guidance. You have to be the one to bring him up. You are the one who comes to church, and dad never comes to church. Dad has no interest in spiritual matters, and so you, as the mother, have to pass on the baton all by yourself without any encouragement or help from your husband. You know, if I could sit down with Eunice, I'd like to ask her some questions. I'd like to say, how did you get into this marriage? Was it because you fell in love with this man and he promised that he was going to change and he would go with you to the synagogue for a time, but afterwards he lost interest? Was that what happened? Or might it be that you had some pressure to marry him for one reason or another? Why is it that you didn't marry within the Jewish community and marry those who already knew God and already were acquainted with the scriptures? We don't know the answer to that. All that we know is that there are many marriages that really are not ideal, that are unwise, and at least from our standpoint would have been better if they had not happened. You know, I've often asked couples, particularly after I get to know them, why, and I'm talking about marriages now that have gone bad, Didn't you see any warning signs? Why did the two of you marry? So often I get this answer. They say, yes, down deep in my soul, I knew, I saw some of the issues, but I thought he was going to improve. I thought love was going to cover it. And I thought that he was going to change. And I felt uneasy, but I thought I needed to marry him anyway. Take it from me today. If you feel uneasy, don't marry him. Schedule something else on your wedding day. Go to Great America or something like that. If you are marrying a man with an addiction and he tells you that he is going to change, look him in the eye, be opposite him when you do this, and say to him, yes, I believe you that you are going to change. After you're married, you're going to be 10 times worse than you are now. I think that you will change. And then walk away. Pay for your own coffee. I'll never forget a young woman on the plane. She struck up a conversation with me before we even got off the ground. Perhaps 19, perhaps 20. She was pregnant, flying to see her sister to decide whether or not she should marry the father of her child. And as I was talking to her, I gave her lots of warnings, because those marriages usually don't end well. Marriages that are begun for the wrong reasons usually soon end up in divorce for all those reasons. But I remember as she said to me with tears in her eyes, I always wanted to get married for the right reason. And now I don't know what to do. My friend, today I say to those of you who are unmarried, get married for the right reason and only the right reason. Need to speak to you candidly. Vows do not change anybody. Vows are not, I heard an amen over there. Vows are not magical. Someone who before marriage has certain characteristics will continue those characteristics. Vows do not take a dishonest man and suddenly make him honest. Always get married for the right reasons. But God bless Eunice. God bless Eunice. She may have had an unwise marriage, and from the standpoint of religion, a mixed marriage. She had a husband who didn't get involved in the life of his son's spiritual development, but there she was passing on the baton. God bless her. She had a living faith. She also had a contagious faith, a contagious faith. Now, your Bibles are open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look at chapter 3 for just a moment. This is what Paul says in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, how that from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now notice that Eunice from childhood, actually the Greek word is infancy. You have known the Holy Scriptures from infancy, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now we have to think about this historically. How did Eunice do it? Did she go down to the local bookstore and pick out a book entitled Bible Pictures for Little Eyes and then read him the stories? No, she didn't do that. No bookstores. No books at all in those days. As a matter of fact, she couldn't have told him stories about Jesus, because at this point she didn't know anything about Jesus. She lived in Lystra, which is a Roman colony, and Timothy was born approximately at the time when Jesus was being crucified. So you see, Timothy grows up essentially without a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible says that from childhood he knew the scriptures which are able to lead him unto salvation. What is it that he knew? He knew the Old Testament. Here's what Eunice did. She would go into the synagogue, she would listen to the scriptures as they were being read, and then she would go home, With the help of others, she would memorize verses of Scripture, and she would pass these on to young Timothy as early as he was able to understand anything. I can imagine that she told him stories about Abraham, how his faith was credited to him for righteousness. She told him stories about David and about Solomon and gave him warnings from the Word of God. And as this little boy walked along, she would be reminded that the Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And she would teach him these verses. And when he would stumble and fall, she would remind him that it says in Psalm 147 that he binds up the brokenhearted and heals their wounds. And she would give him spiritual understanding of his physical challenges. And when he was hungry, she would feed him bread. And then she would remind him from the verse in Deuteronomy that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then I can imagine that when he needed to understand conversion, she led him to Psalm 19. And maybe she memorized most of this psalm, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure and righteous altogether. More to be are they desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. However she did it, God bless Eunice, she passed on what she knew about the Old Testament. Because remember, in the Old Testament times, people were saved also, even though the content of their faith was different from ours. But if they believed what God showed them in the Word, and they understood the need of forgiveness and a coming Messiah, they were justified by faith. And somewhere along the line, Timothy got it from a childhood. He knew Scriptures which were adequate to lead him to salvation. Despite all the limitations and challenges, think of what Eunice was able to do. She had a living faith, she had a contagious faith, but she had a very rewarding faith, a rewarding faith. What kind of a boy was Timothy who accompanied the Apostle Paul? Well, I can tell you a few things about him. First of all, he had all kinds of insecurities, self-doubt. We get that from the way in which the Apostle Paul encouraged him. Most children growing up in a home where the father is not active in their faith and they have no dad to follow grow up either becoming very angry and going in one direction and rejecting everything, or else becoming somewhat compliant but also somewhat unsure of themselves, not knowing exactly where they are to land. And that was true of Timothy. Those who grow up being mama's boy have a great deal of questions among themselves, about themselves. Timothy needed encouragement. He was prone to discouragement and prone to getting off the track. We notice that. But there's something else blessed about Timothy. You know, we as a pastoral staff have the responsibility of writing out various reference forms for people, because there are those who say, would you please give me a reference? And the Apostle Paul said this about Timothy. Now, I thought I had previously found the passage. I read it this morning, but you have to give me a moment to find it in the book of Philippians. And I think Philippians is in the New Testament, if I remember correctly. I did find it. Listen to what Paul says about Timothy. Sarah, you just listen. Because these sons of yours could grow up, and someday we might be saying about them what Paul said about Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he served with me in the gospel. Could you get higher praise than that? Everybody else is selfish. They're thinking of themselves. No one will care for you like Timothy will care for you. Wow. What a way the Apostle Paul had to express his absolute confidence in this young man whom Eunice raised. And so we find that it was a very rewarding faith, rewarding because Timothy turned out to be a wonderful man of God despite the challenges within the home. Let me give you some very important lessons that we can learn on this blessed Mother's Day. First of all, the greatest contribution you can make to a child, remember this, the greatest contribution you can make to a child is to teach him or her the Scriptures. And you know, we have so many helps that help us today. And I need to say that Sunday school was invented to be a supplement to the home. It was not to be a substitute to the home. Moms and dads, in your homes, teach children the Word of God. It isn't enough. Yeah, thank you. It isn't enough that they grow up memorizing verses for camp, because the Sunday school has a program to enable them to memorize. That's good, but unless they hear it from mom and dad, they are not going to buy into it. You remember the story of Martha and Mary, how Martha was very busy with all kinds of things and serving, and Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Martha was getting after Mary, who is at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. I heard of one man who took the Bible to the nursery when his child was born, and took the Bible with the child, a newborn, and said, "Child, this is the word of God." Well, it's a little much for a newborn to absorb, I'm sure, but you do get the point. Your greatest contribution is to teach the Word of God, not to clobber them over the head with it, but to so allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly that it becomes part of your experience, it becomes part of your devotional life. You are teaching them snatches of Scripture early on, that from a child they may know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. Eunice, despite all of the limitations, she did that. Today we honor her. God bless her. There's a second very important lesson, and that is this. God uses families. God uses families, but he's not limited by them. He's not limited by them. You know, Timothy didn't grow up in an ideal home. He wasn't able to point to a dad who walked with God. And yet Timothy turned out to be an ideal child. And you know what God does? God does various things in people's lives to sometimes surprise us. I know some children from what we call dysfunctional homes, alcoholic homes, divorced homes, that are walking earnestly with God today and are way far ahead from their father and their mother in terms of their walk with God, because God uses families, but God says, "I'm not limited to good families when I select my people." And aren't you glad he's not limited to good families? Yes, we can be thankful for that. Now, I find something very interesting. Did you notice that when I read the book of Philippians and what the Apostle Paul said about Timothy, he says, "Timothy was as a son, and I was his father." As I read that yesterday, I was reminded of this, that when we have families where you have single mothers, or mothers whose husband takes no interest in what is happening in their home, it's the responsibility of the church to fill in the gaps. Timothy didn't have a believing father, but in the end, yes, he did, because Paul, in effect, informally adopted him and said that you are my son. Imagine having the Apostle Paul as a male role model. There are some of you single mothers who'd give anything for a man of integrity and honor to take your boys somewhere, even if it's to a baseball game, or to spend time with the boys and fill in the gap that is there, that vacuum, because there's no dad in the home. The Church of Jesus Christ has the responsibility to do that. I also tend to think that despite the limitations of Timothy's family, the fact that his father was a pagan, probably studying Plato and Aristotle, and by the way, Plato and Aristotle, I believe, were two of the most brilliant people who ever walked this planet. But Plato and Aristotle were not able to get to God, because human reasoning can't, even at its best. So that's maybe what Timothy's father was into. But even though his father then was a pagan in that sense, the very character of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, and thank God for her, she stepped in also into the home. Because of that impact, the child growing up probably saw the difference between dad and mom, because mom walked with God. So in one sense, God may have used the limitations of his home to show him the difference between somebody who's saved and somebody who's unsaved. And there is a difference. Gustave Dore was a painter in Europe, and I understand that he was going to go from Germany to another country. And he came to the border patrol, and they said, show us your passport. And he had forgotten his passport. But he said, I'm Gustave Dore. And because he was famous, he could use his name. And they said, if you're Gustave Dore, there's only one way we can prove it. We're going to give you a sheet of paper, and you sketch your surroundings right now. And so he took a sheet of paper, and within minutes, sketched his surroundings. And they said, you are Gustave Dore. We'll let you in. Folks, the real question when it comes to Christianity is this. We can say we are Christians, but can we walk the walk and walk the talk? That's the issue. And in this case, Eunice was able to do that. I speak to those of you today from broken families. I speak to those of you today without fathers who are involved in the home. I speak to you today and say that God uses families, but he is not limited to your family. He can do with you as he wishes, and you can walk in a different path than your family has taken. There's a final lesson, and that is that parents, for all of us, you do what is possible, and you leave the impossible with God. You trust God for the impossible. You do what is possible. You know, I'm sure that Eunice wished she could have done a whole lot more. But she did what she could. And God came along and did the rest. She gave Timothy that foundation, and since she couldn't explain Christ to him, because at that time she didn't know about him yet, where did he learn all this? Well, probably in the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. The Bible says he went to Lystra, and it's probably there that Timothy heard Paul preach and was converted, and then on that second missionary journey, Paul wants to take him along and to have him travel with him. You see, Eunice planted the seeds and then trusted God, and look at the fruit that God bore through the life of her son. One day a woman said to me, a mother, she said, you know, our teenager is doing all kinds of things. She said, I just wish I could get into his mind and make all of his decisions for him. Well, we've all wished that for teenagers, I'm sure. But number one, you can't do that. And number two, are you so sure that if you made all the decisions for him that they'd be the right ones? All that you can do is to trust them to God. And say, God, I'm so limited, I can't do much, but what I can do, I'm doing, and I trust you for the unknown, and I trust you for the impossible. And when we trust God for the impossible, God picks up the baton and hands it to the next generation. I think of another mother. I'm thinking of Monica. It's a very famous story, as you know. Monica was the mother of Augustine, sometimes pronounced Augustine. She prayed for him. She was married to a pagan. Augustine was another mama's boy who grew up without a dad in the home that he could have a relationship with, spiritually speaking. But Monica prayed for her son Augustine. And one day he was in a garden, you remember, and he overheard some children playing, and he thought he heard a voice that said, take it and read it. And so he got a Bible and he took it and read it. And he took his Bible and he opened it up arbitrarily. Now that's not a good way to have your devotions, because you might take all kinds of passages out of context. There are all kinds of stories of what people have seen when they've opened their Bible up arbitrarily. But for him, it worked. His eyes, Augustine was at that time, he had a mistress, he had a child with her, and he lived a life of immorality. And the thing is, despite that, he couldn't handle the guilt. He said that it was as if there was a storm going on within his heart because he tried to quit and couldn't. And this is the passage that his eyes fell on. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires and lusts. And Augustine read it, and right there he trusted Christ and was converted. And he became one of the most famous people in church history, influencing church history for 1,000 years, more than anyone else except Jesus and Paul. And then I'd like to conclude today by saying a word about my own mother. I think she should fit here somewhere. Now, she, of course, had a husband, my father, who also walked with God. But my mother, coming over from the Ukraine as a German-speaking immigrant with her sister at the age of 22 and 23, in a country where she didn't know a single word of English, she taught herself how to speak English, how to read English. She memorized all kinds of songs without knowing it, and today, at the age of 100, she still sings those songs all the time. In fact, I called her yesterday, and she was quoting a poem she had learned as a girl. Truly amazing. Now, as I mentioned, my father was also a believer and participated in our spiritual education in the home. Though Dad, until the age of 60, was somewhat of a hypochondriac, always sick, always thinking he was going to die. But he got over it at the age of 60 and lived another 46 years. Because, as you know, he died at the age of 106 last year. At home, we'd always gather for family devotions right after breakfast. Before school, before anything, everyone got on his knees. We would read a section from the Bible, maybe 5 verses. We all prayed. It was just done. You know, somebody asked me the other day, well, did you object to it and so forth? We never knew that we had the option of objecting. Just never came up. I thought all Christian families did this. Dogged determination to love God. Tried to teach us hatred for sin. Always praying. Hardworking. You can read the tribute I wrote to her there in the bulletin. Now, here's what I want to say. Eunice had no idea that this boy that she was raising would have 2 books in the Bible written to him by the Apostle Paul and be Paul's most cherished travel companion. She didn't know that. Augustine's mother, Monica, had no clue that she was raising a boy who was going to write these books that would impact church history for 1,000 years, for good or for ill. My mother didn't know that she was raising 2 missionaries. One of my sisters was a missionary in Africa for 30 years, and the other one was a missionary in Mexico for 25 years. She didn't know that she was raising someone who would someday preach the gospel. And let me tell you today, the children you have in your Sunday school and the children that you live with day by day, who stretch every ounce of your patience, you have no idea whom you are raising and how God may use them. Your responsibility? Be faithful. Do what is possible. And when you come to the impossible, simply we give this all to God. And God picks up where we left off. At our home, whenever we said goodbye, when we were in college or on our way to anywhere, including even as we were grown-up children leaving for the United States or leaving for wherever, our family always had a ritual that we went through. We read Psalm 90 and then we would sing a song. And one of my mother's favorite songs is Take the Name of Jesus With You, and another is 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just in simple faith to trust him, just to know, thus saith the Lord. And at 100 years old today, she could sing all of these stanzas very, very easily. I'm going to pray, and after we've prayed, we're going to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4 in honor of my mother, who trusts in Jesus all the way home. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you today for our mothers, especially those of us who have godly mothers. Thank you for the Eunices and the Monicas. Thank you for all those dear mothers. Father, our heart goes out to them today, trying to raise their children for Jesus and receiving no encouragement from their fathers. I pray today, Lord, that you might bless them as well and give them hope and give them courage. And for those who have never been converted, we pray that as we read God's word today, that you might show them the light of the gospel, that they need Jesus and be saved. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Amen.
On today's Moody Church Hour, Dr. Erwin Lutzer spoke on Your Mother, Your Gift, a Mother's Day message reminding us of the value of leaving a godly heritage for our children. We also heard the testimony of Sarah James, called of God to inner city ministry, and also called to become a most unusual mother. Sarah's testimony, along with Erwin Lutzer's message, can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to the Moody Church Hour. Just call 800-215-5001. Let us know you'd like to support Dr. Lutzer's ministry. The number again is 800-215-5001. Or write to us at The Moody Church, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Ask about Your Mother, Your Gift. Online, go to moodyoffer.com. That's moodyoffer, all one word, .com. Join us next week for another Moody Church Hour with Dr. Erwin Lutzer and the Congregation of Historic Moody Church in Chicago.